Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, good morning, good morning, everybody. We thank God this morning for waking us up and allowing us to see this new day, the day that our Lord has made. And today is, we are in August. It's a new month, and it is the fifth day, August 5, 2022, the day that no one else has ever been in this day but our God. And we are excited right here with what the Lord is doing with this body at this hour of power, of prayer, praise, and deliverance, this circle of friends. So we thank God for the opportunity. We thank God for his grace. We thank God for his love that he has given us and giving us an opportunity to stand on the gap, to intercede and pray for others and encourage each other. And we thank God for what he is doing, regardless of what is going on around us, what is going on in the world. He remains being God. He remains being on the throne. He does not change, regardless of how things change around us. But our God does not change. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. So we are grateful and we are ready to receive what he has installed for us. We are ready to operate and function the way he wants us to. For the steps of a good man, they are ordered by God, and we are ready for him to order our steps, to surrender ourselves to him. Yes, in the name of Jesus. So we're going to go before the Lord in prayer. We are praying a prayer of agreement. We are in agreement, for there is power in agreement, for a three-chord is stronger than one. And we are thankful because we have the backup of God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, for they are on our side, and greater is he who is in us than he who is against us. Even if the enemy might come to us in one way, he will flee in seven ways, for we have a mighty God on our side. So we're going to go ahead and start with the Lord's Prayer as Jesus taught his disciples. He said, when you pray, pray this way. And we say, our Father, our Heavenly Father, who art in heaven, the one whose heaven is his throne and the earth is his footstool. We say, let your kingdom come on this earth as it is in heaven. We thank you, Father God. We honor you, Lord. And let your will be done on this earth as it is in heaven. We thank you, Father God, for giving us this day our daily bread. Yes, you provide for us, Father. You are the one who prepares a table for us in the presence of our enemies. We thank you, Father God, for forgiving us of all our debts, all our sins. We thank you, Father, for giving us for anything and everything that we have done that is not pleasing to you, Father, for you are a forgiving God. And we pray, Father God, that we will not be repeated offenders, that we repeat the same things that is not right before you. So we pray, Lord, that you help us, that the Holy Spirit help us, that we do not repeat our sins, anything that we have done that is not pleasing to you, by whether it is by words we speak with our mouths, whether it's by action. We just pray, Father God, that you forgive us in the mighty name of Jesus, and help us to be a forgiving people, Father, that we forgive those who have offended us, those who have done us wrong, Father. We do not want the accuser of the saints to accuse us and hinder our prayers. so we pray, Father God, that whosoever we have locked and hold hostage in our hearts, that we let them go. In the mighty name of Jesus, I thank you, Father God. I honor you this morning for leading us not into any temptation, Father, and delivering us from all evil. Yes, for thy is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. We thank you, Father God. We glorify your name as we continue to believe in you, Lord, believing for salvation of our brothers and sisters, of our family members, those who do not know you, Father. We thank you, Father God, for softening their hearts and giving them a heart of flesh, that when you stand at the door of their hearts, Father, and you knock, they will open for you to come in the mighty name of Jesus. So we pray, Father God, that you draw them unto you, Father. Every stronghold, every thing, anything that is holding them back, we break it this morning. For you break every yoke, Father, every addiction, every stronghold. It doesn't matter what it is, whether they are prescription drugs or illegal drugs, whether it's alcohol, in the mighty name of Jesus, whether it's self-disrespect, whether it's prostitution or human trafficking. Father, there's a lot of human trafficking that is rising again. Father, we strangle this demon of manipulation and controlling other people in the name of Jesus. I thank you, Father God, because even though you told us to have dominion, but you didn't give us the to have dominion over other people in the mighty name of Jesus, but to have dominion over these evil spirits, these demonic spirits, Father, that manipulate people. And in the mighty name of Jesus, so we pray, Father God, whatever that stronghold, that they be released in the mighty name of Jesus. We thank you, Father God, for you are still in business of saving souls. You are still in business of delivering people. You are still in business of healing your people. So we thank you, Father God, for you are our healer. You heal all manner of sickness and diseases. We pray, Father God, for healing for those who are sick in their bodies. Some are lying in hospitals right now. They have machines breathing for them. And we pray, Father God, releasing the healing power of the blood of Jesus, the one who was wounded for all our transgressions, the one who was bruised for all our iniquities. And the chastisement of our peace was upon you, Lord Jesus. By your stripes we are healed. All manner of diseases, whether they are mental, whether they are emotional, whether they are spiritual, whether they are physical or financial, Father, even relationship-wise, all areas of our lives, in the mighty name of Jesus, we thank you, Father God. We honor you, for there is nothing impossible with you, Father. All things are possible with you. In the mighty name of Jesus, I thank you, Father God. And some are caught in between, Father. They don't know. They are right on the crossroads. They don't know which way to go, whether to turn right or to turn left. But we thank you, Father God, that they can hear your gentle, soft voice saying, this is the way, walk in it, and they will be obedient. So we thank you, Father God, this morning. We pray, Father, for the restoration of families, Father, in the mighty name of Jesus. We thank you for the protection of the children in these families, because there is a lot of abuse going on in these families. And I pray, Father God, against the domestic violence, Father, that you too have gone out of control in the mighty name of Jesus, and people are being manipulated and violated in these homes, and they are not speaking out. I just pray, Father God, that you expose those violence that is taking place in the homes, whether the abuse of the children, the abuse of the elderly, the abuse of spouses, one to another, families, even the children. There are some children who are abusing their own parents and their own grandparents. We come against you, spirit of abuse, spirit of manipulation, spirit of murder, in the mighty name of Jesus. Expose whatever is being done in these closed doors. And some people need help, Father, that they go for counseling and that they will be reprogrammed in their minds, in their heads, Father. And we know the main thing that can change and reprogram a person's mind is to be renewed by your word, Father, in the mighty name of Jesus. I thank you, Father God. I honor you, Lord. And some, they really need to be dealt with the laws of the land, in the mighty name of Jesus. I thank you, Father. I honor you as we continue to pray, Father, for the body of Christ, for the church, for the leadership of the church, the whole fivefold ministry, Father. Yes, the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors and the teachers and the missionaries, Father. We pray for the missionaries, those whom you have sent in a foreign land to preach and spread the good news, Father. We pray that you protect them as they adjust in the new culture, adjust in new food and new weather, in a new language. I just pray, Father God, that you help them and keep them in good health, Father. We pray for all our leaders, our local leaders, Father. Yes, our national leaders and our international leaders, Father God. All those whom you have put in positions of authority, in the mighty name of Jesus, that they govern well in love, Father, that they do not just fulfill their own personal egos. Some, they are just driven by money and power, but they do not care who in whom they hate and how they govern. As long as money is full in their pockets, as long as they feel pompous and suppress each and everyone who is on their way or on their path, I just pray, Father God, that you give us men and women of integrity to these positions of authority, that they will govern well and do what is good for the betterment of the people. In the mighty name of Jesus, I thank you, Father God. I honor you as we continue to believe and trusting you, Father God, for healing our land and restoring our land, Father, in the mighty name of Jesus. And if the children are going back to school, we pray for our education system, Father, as we have seen, and the, all those in the positions of authority, the ones who can facilitate change, Father, and listen to the parents and listen to the teachers and the students. I just pray, Father God, that they do what is right as this school year is starting. Some have already started this week and some will be opening next week. I just pray, Father God, for the parents, that you provide for them as they prepare for the children to go back to school. The educators, Father God, as they prepare their classrooms and prepare to receive the students, and the students getting ready to school, Father. I just pray that our education system, the educators, the students, the parents, the administrators, anyone and everyone, including those who work even in the cleaning of the facilities, the parking lots, and the security, and the bus drivers, even the ones who prepare lunches for the children. Everyone, Father God, to work together. Let the system be better. Whatever was failed last year, that this year it will be better, Father, because you do not take us backwards, but you move us forward just for the sake of the saints who are involved in those in the system. We have believers as teachers, believers as administrators, and even the students and parents who believe. So regardless of how many who are in darkness, because we have that sparkle of light, let the light shine in our education system, Father, in the mighty name of Jesus. And we decree and declare that this school year, 2022-2023, is going to be a successful school year, a safe
school year for our children. No more murders, no more shootings in this, in the mighty name of Jesus. I thank you, Father God. I thank you, Lord, for all the systems of our well-being, including our workforce system, our health system, in the name of Jesus, our housing system. Everything is done in decent and in order. I thank you, Father God. I honor you. I glorify your name. For we continue to put our trust in you, Lord, for some trust in chariots, some in horses. But we remember the name of the Lord, our God. For the name of the Lord is our strong tower. And when we run to you, Father, we are safe. We thank you for safety, Lord. In the mighty name of Jesus, we pray and we decree and declare that it is done and it is permanent. The enemy cannot steal from us this breakthrough. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen, amen, amen. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. We thank God this morning. We honor the Lord, for he is so good and his mercies endureth forever. So this morning, before our lines are open and we acknowledge who's here and we just see what the Holy Spirit has in store for us, I just want to go ahead and go into the Word. And I am just excited. I am so excited with what God is doing, regardless of what the enemy might want to try to intimidate us and try to masquerade himself as he is a lion. We know he's not, because there is only one lion of the tribe of Judah, the one who, when he arises, his enemies scatter. And when he roars, fire comes out of his mouth, the fire that burns all sin and wrath. You can tell I'm excited. So I need to calm down and share with you what the Lord has placed on my heart this week. And before I share that scripture, I just want to remind you, for those who are not aware, it's never too late. You can join us today. Today is day 3 of fasting and praying, and we are praying and believing God, increasing our faith and trusting God with all our hearts. Actually, the scriptures we are praying we according and with. Which is the theme of our prayer this month of August, is Proverbs 3, verses 5 and 6, that we need to trust the Lord with all our hearts and lean not on our own understanding, but that in all our ways, not one way, not two ways, but all of them, not only when you are sick, not only when you need something from him, but when things are okay, you really don't care. No, but in all our ways to acknowledge him, and that he shall direct our path. He is a God of direction. He knows the end from the beginning. So we trust in him. Not only that, but we also have Mark chapter 11, verse 22, that Jesus, that he, when he answered his disciples, he said, have faith in God. So as we pray and fast, not only for these 3 days we have been, because today is day number 3, and I invite you to join us if you haven't started, and for those who have started, or maybe you stumbled and fall in between, it doesn't matter. But what is important is that we stay focused and be prayerful. And this is good because we are on one accord. You know, what one accord and agreement means is when we are doing the same thing at the same time with the same focus. That's one accordness, and that's what we are doing. So we have designated these 3 days of prayer and fasting together, and trusting God and also believing in what we are doing. Have faith in God that he hears prayer and that he answers prayer. Amen, amen, amen. You can tell I'm excited. I am really excited with what God is doing. And I just thank God for his goodness. So the scripture I would like to share with you is from the book of Genesis. Genesis chapter 38. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise you, Jesus. So Genesis chapter 38, I'm just going to pull just one verse, and then I will summarize the chapter. I would have loved to read the whole chapter, but because of our time and because I know you are good students, good disciples of Jesus, and you can go and read this chapter. It really blessed my soul this whole week, and I'm going to share with you. So we will go on verse 14, Genesis chapter 38, verse 14. I'm kind of out of place because I'm so used to use my computer, and it crashed earlier this week, and I haven't got it up, but I will work with what I have. So Genesis 38, verse 14. So she took off her widow's garments, covered herself with a veil, and wrapped herself in an open place, which was on the way to Tamar. For she saw that Shelah was grown, and she was not given to him as a wife. Amen. So when you read Genesis chapter 38, it is a story of Judah and Tamar. Judah is the father-in-law. So it's a story regarding a father-in-law and his daughter-in-law. And some people, they say, you know, father-in-love and daughter-in-love. So let me give you a little background so that you can understand why this verse, this particular verse, really ministered to my soul and is significant. This story, this chapter, Genesis chapter 38, as I said, it talks about Judah and Tamar. And Judah is one of the sons. I believe he is the fourth son of the six sons Jacob had with his wife Leah. So Judah also is, when he got married, him and his wife had sons as well. He had three sons. From this chapter, it tells us just Judah had three sons, Er, which is Er, and Onan, and also Shelah, the one we read on this verse. That was his third son. And as I said, this is very important. Once you understand the background, you know, the Bible says in Proverbs 4:7 that wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, get wisdom. And with all thy getting, also get understanding. So that's why I am giving you a little bit background on what is going on. So I told you that Judah had three sons. So the Bible says, when you read at the early part of this chapter, it tells us that Judah, after he went out and found a wife for his firstborn son, Er. And this wife is Tamar, the one I told you. This story is about Judah and Tamar. So Tamar got married to Er because the father-in-law is the one who chose the wife. And the Bible also says God was not pleased by Er because Er was doing wicked things before the Lord. That God was not pleased about what he was doing because of what he was doing, and God killed him or took his life. So that made Tamar to be a widow at a very young age, and they had not even had a child yet when Er died. So according to their laws, according to their tradition, when the older son dies, the younger son take over the wife so that they can produce a child for their older brother. And I know it is true because there are some tribe and traditions that are still practicing that, you know, that kind of a tradition. Even in my family, I experienced it, you know, firsthand. I saw it in other family members, and it hit home in my family when my mother died. When my mother died, I was a teenager. My baby sister was like 3 years old. And when she died, my parents, my grandparents on my mother's side, they gave my father a wife, which was my, I can say a cousin probably, that's my uncle's older daughter. And she, if I'm not mistaken, she was about the same age as my older sister. So she was young, and she was upset that caused her to run away from home. She ran away. So my father did not have her as a wife because she ran. And he went and tried to complain to my grandparents, and they said, well, that was his fault. He couldn't control his home. So that's another story or a testimony for another day. I am just telling it so that you can get an understanding where I am going with this story or this chapter, what the Lord just said. It was like an aha moment for me when I read this chapter earlier this week. So what happened is Judah took it upon himself, you know, traditionally. So he took his second son, Onan, and said, okay, you take your sister, your brother's wife, and so that you can have children or have a child, an heir, the one who will inherit your brother's belongings. So heir, the Bible says, when you read this story, this chapter, the Bible says, Onan was not happy. He did not like that arrangement. He wanted to have his own wife because he understood that the children he's going to make with Tamar, those are not his. They are his brothers. So the Bible says because he got upset, he decided, when it's time for him and his wife to be together, he will spill on the ground the semen. He will spill it on the ground. And that upset God. And the Bible also says because of his doing, God was not pleased, and God killed Onan because of his doing. Look, you know, right here, we see a lot of things going on at the same time. You know, that's why we are so blessed to have Jesus. We know that Jesus, when he came, back in the day before Jesus was hung on the cross, when you frustrate and upset God, you have to either give a sacrifice of a bull, kill an animal, or you yourself will be killed. There are several, when you go in the Old Testament, several times where God will be upset, and sometimes the ground will open and people get swallowed. And they will be just, that's when the mass graves started way back in the Old Testament. And some will be struck by fire, some will be struck by lightning, and different things God will deal with you immediately. Even if you look at the priest had to be tied their legs when they go to the Holy of Holies, you know, to try to give an offering or a sacrifice, interceding for people when they have sinned, and only the priest will go to that Holy of Holies and they will tie his leg, because some of the priests were also will have sinned and done things that did not please God. and they will be struck right there and died, and people will just have to pull them. That was the purpose, for them to be tied on their leg, because nobody would go to the Holy of Holies, but then they will have a chance to pull him out of there if he died and he doesn't come back. The only way people will know that the priest is still alive is when they see the rope or the string they tie on his leg is moving, then they know he's alive. When they see that he's not moving, you know, they will test it and see if he moved. That's how they will communicate. So at that time, that's how God was dealing with people. So we thank God for Jesus, the one who broke the middle wall of petition so that you and I can go to him direct. So let me finish this story for you so that we can get to what the Holy Spirit ministered to me according to this verse. So what happened is now two of his sons have died, Judah's sons. Remember, Judah, if I did not mention it to you, this is the Judah, the one most of us, as we pray and address God, we pray addressing God as the God, you know, and we say the lion of the tribe of Judah. So you also see on this story the mercies of God, that he is a forgiving God. Regardless of what kind of sin you have committed, you have done, whether you killed a person, whether you stole somebody, you stole things that do not belong to you, whether you manipulated some, you told a lie, it doesn't matter what kind of a sin you have offended. When you go and confess your sins to him and surrender your life to him, he is a forgiving God. And that just reminds me that, you know, the Bible says in 2 Corinthians, I believe, chapter 5, where that if any man is in Christ, he is a new creature, and that old things have passed away, and behold, all things become new. We become new creations. So you can see the forgiveness of God. And because when you read this story and you are like, Judah to take his, to find, first of all, he found a wife for his son and his son got killed. Let this young, poor young girl become a widow. And then he gave him the second son who didn't even like it. And this second son, we can learn that we need to be honest before God and be honest before people. Because he just said, well, this is the tradition. This is what my father was, and he just did it. But in his heart, he was not there. And guess what? We have some relationships right now where people are in a relationship, but their hearts are not there. They are being driven and manipulated by outside forces and say, what would people say? Not only talking about spouses, husband and wife, even friendship. You know, you know that this is not really your friend because they let you do wrong things and they don't counsel you. They don't tell you, oh, my sister, my brother, what you are doing is wrong. They just let you do whatever. That's not a good friend. There are some friends, you think they are your friends, but they let you, they are not, they don't mean good for you. They don't mean well for you. They are actually jealous of you. That is the Onan spirit, that they are there, but their spirit is not there. That relationship, they don't want it. Some, they are just there for what they want to get from you. So we will pray for God to give us wisdom and discernment so that we can discern a good friendship, a good relation, a good association from the bad. So what happened after Onan died, now Judah is scared. The Bible said he was afraid to give him another son. And this son is Shelah. So what he did, what Judah said is, because the Bible doesn't tell us how old Shelah was, I would like to think maybe he was young, let's say maybe, 7 years old, 8 years old, in a grade school, kindergarten. I don't know. The Bible doesn't say. But the Bible says he was young. So Judah decided and said to Tamar, look, you need to wear a widow's clothes and go to your home, to your father's house, and wait there, stay there until Shalom is grown. When he grows up and he's old enough to marry you, then you will marry. So in other words, Judah is saying, I am giving you my younger son to be your husband because we want you to have children for us. We want you to bear an heir, the one who will inherit and who will carry the family name, who will carry the family belongings, whatever business they were in, someone who will inherit and move on with the business. But I want you to go and wait for this boy while you are at your family at your father's house. And the Bible says Tamar left, and she went there for years. I don't know how many years she was there. But just to let you know, the widow's garment is still happening in my country. When your spouse dies, you wear a widow's garment. What we call a widow's garment is this heavy, ugly black dress you wear that conceals your female figure. You can't tell, you know, where the waistline is. You can't tell where the hips are. In other words, it just levels you. Even if you don't know this person, you meet them in the street. You can, you know, it makes people easily profile you. They know who you are, that you are a widow. Your husband just died. The problem with the widow's garments, I don't know other nations, but I know in my country, in Zimbabwe, what they do, you wear this widow's garment until it wears out. That's what determines, or that's what tells the timeline, how long you gonna mourn, how long you are in grief. You don't mend it, you don't sew it. So once it's torn, that means you move on, and now you can wear your regular garments, and now people or men can now approach you. So what Judah did, also the spirit of manipulation, he sent this young woman back to his parents and wants her or ordered her to wear the widow's garment. So I don't know for how long Tamar wore this widow's garment. But what the Holy Spirit revealed to me, I just read this chapter, this verse, verse 14, that now, after so many years, in between the Bible, this story, I mean, this chapter is loaded. It has a lot of information. It also talks about Judah, that his wife died, and he went through his mourning or his grief period. With the men, they don't wear like a widow or a widow's garment, but they wear something like a scarf. It looked like a thick hairband, but they wear it on their above the elbow, above the between the shoulder and the elbow, on top of their suit, on top of whatever they desire to wear. So they put it on their head. It looked like they borrowed from a military. You know, the military, some they wear their badges, or if they are in war, how to identify you, which battalion or whatever. You wear something besides your medals. You wear something between the elbow and the shoulder. This thick ribbon you put around. So that's what the men wear when their wives die. That's the widower's, I don't know what we call it, ribbon or whatever. I don't know what it is called. But that's what they wear, and they can take it off whenever they want. You know, it's not determined because you can tear that up. You know, if you choose to wear it for 2 weeks or 3 weeks or 2 days, that's up to you, and you are ready to go and mingle out there. but with the women, you wear this garment and until it's worn out. So it depends with the strength of the garment, you know, this cloth, the material. If you choose a really strong material, that can last years. And, you know, it just depends. I don't know why I am saying this, but as I was going through and reading this chapter earlier this week, the Holy Spirit ministered to me that we have some people, we have some Christians, that we sometimes, you know, life goes around, it turns around. We've run into a lot of forces that are against us, that fight us. And we you know, those forces that make, that become our widow's garment. A widow's garment can be anything or everything that is against the fruit of the Spirit, the one that wants to quench the love in you, the one that wants to steal the joy out of you, the one that suppresses the peace, the one that suppresses even the patience, that make you, when somebody upsets you, you go out of control. You get into this rage. Every little thing upsets you. Those are widow's garments, the ones that make you cruel. You are not even kind to other people. You are not even generous to other people. The widow's garment is what suppresses even the gifts of the Spirit. You lack wisdom. It suppresses wisdom that people around you will say, how did she do that? How did he do that? How come he just do that? You just lack wisdom or understanding. Someone is trying to tell you something. You don't have time to understand. You already have your mind fixated on something. Those are kinds of widow's garments. You don't recounsel. There is no wisdom in you. There is no knowledge. You don't operate in knowledge. You know the word of God, but you don't have the knowledge to apply what the word of God is saying. Even this scripture we have for our fasting this week, to trust God with all our heart. What the widow's garment does, it does not allow you to trust God. You can just say words, but deep down in your heart, or your actions are contrary to what you are saying, to what the word of God is. And when you are present, you have to make a decision. You always lean to your own understanding. You deal with situations according to your own understanding. But you do not trust God. You do not lean on him directing your path. You don't have the faith and the knowledge to understand. That's what the widow's garment is. So the Bible says, after so many years, where we have read on verse 14, that Tamar woke up one morning and she decided, she said, I've been waiting. I know it has been years, because she knew how to read and count. So she knew that Shema is old enough to marry, and she has not had a word to come and say, come back now. Shema is old enough for you to, Shela is old enough to marry you. So the verse we have read, it says, Tamar, she took off her widow's clothes. She wore the best in makeup. You know how makeup does. That's why we call them makeovers. Because for so long you have been looking a certain way. When you have a makeover, people cannot recognize you. That's why we all say, because they are different. They look different. So that's what happened to Tamar. She put on the best garment. She exposed her figure. She exposed her knees, her legs, and she exposed her hands, and she looked good. And on this verse, we have read that after she unveiled herself, then she went out. Now I'm paraphrasing. You will need to read from 14 going out. That, Lord, behold, I will make this in short. And she met Leah and Judah met. Judah did not know that this was his daughter-in-law. I bet Tamar knew. But the Bible says, for Tamar was driven by the desire to have a child. She is so desperately, because that's what they have, you know, enforced in her brain, that she needs to have a child, an heir for this Judah's, you know, family. So she went on the street, and lo and behold, Judah showed up, and he was driven by lust. He couldn't control his lust, his body. Remember, I told you his wife had died. And I don't know for how long he did his grief, but he went to the street and he wanted to pick a prostitute. That's what his desire was. And to cut the story short, him and Tamar, they made children. She was pregnant. You can, when you read, you see also accusations. Because he wanted to accuse and wanted to slaughter or to cut the Tamar's head off when he heard that she is pregnant. You know, it is people, they always try to condemn and accuse when they are standing from afar what you have done. So in this story, because of our time, I am just going to say that, Tamar, the Bible says she gave birth to twins. She gave birth to two boys, and then the two boys, as you continue reading, and also that's where it came with the genealogy of Jesus. So in this story, the Holy Spirit was ministering to me that we serve a forgiving God. We live in a life where there are ups and downs, where the life, you know, your world turns around. Look at Tamar, her world turned around several times. Even she herself at a point for there to conceive and have these children. She deceived this poor old man and she went out there. But what I want us to see is we do not have to stay there in our widow's garment. We do not have to stay there where the fruits of the Spirit are being quenched, where the fruits, the gifts of the Spirit are being quenched. We need to rise up. You and I have to do it. We don't just have to wait. And as the lines are being opened right now, we're going to go, and the Bible says we need to put on the garment of praise, and the spirit of heaviness will flee. As we praise God, the heaviness will flee. As we praise God, this widow's garment, you know what it is. I might not have touched exactly by name what the widow's garment you are wearing is. But you know what the widow's garment is. So as the lines are open, we're going to just take a short moment to praise God and thank God and praise him that we are here. Now we know that whatever the garment is, that it will flee from us. It will fall from us in Jesus' name. And the next
hallelujah
is of Pastor Darlene once we finish praising God. In Jesus' name, hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord, in the name of Jesus. Yes,
thank you, Lord.
I thank you, Father God. I praise you, Lord, that this coming world, whatever it is, whatever it is, Lord, that I do not know, in Jesus' name I praise you, Lord. I thank you, Father God, for your word is true. And it will not return to you void, but it will accomplish what you have assigned it for. The mighty name of Jesus. We are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, that you have shown forth the praises of him. Yes, you are God who has called us. You called us out of darkness into your marvelous light. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Praise you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen, amen, amen. Thank you, Lord.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Praise God. Well, we thank God for that powerful word today from Pastor Scholastica. We shall take off of those widows' garments. Hallelujah, Jesus. So we thank you, Pastor Scholastica, for the word, and we will continue. We will continue to know that God is the righteous God, and and trust him, and that we will not allow the enemy to put us in that place of deception. Amen. So we just thank you for sharing that about Tama, and just letting us know that, you know, we don't want to have those things on our minds, and we will have the wisdom of God to make the right decisions. And so I'm just going to share just for a moment. We're going to do these declarations concerning the mass shootings. We're going to do that. I'm going to just read one verse right now, 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse number 1 says, I exhort, therefore, that first of all, supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings and for all that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who will have all men to be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. And one thing that I've been thinking about this week is this situation with Nancy Pelosi, who defied even what the advice was from the military, that it was not a wise thing for her to go over to Taiwan. I mean, just, you know, we think about how all these things that happen in our government. I just believe that she just has this big head. She has a spirit of pride. And now China, they're doing these exercises, and this could escalate into a major war because of her just pride, deciding, well, I'm going to go anyway. The military, our military advised her that it was not wise for her to go. So we need to pray for these people who are leading our country, that they will make right decisions. They need to make good decisions for our country, for what we are expecting in the future. So this is the focus that I want us to pray for, that our leaders will make good, righteous decisions, that we will do the right thing. If you have a prayer request, we're going to just pray for it. Pray for it when we pray right now, and we can just thank God for deliverance, thank God for the healing, thank God for pain been removed from your body. We're going to go ahead and pray again, as we have done our praise already. And then, you know, at the end, you can still praise God again for what he has done in your life. So let us pray right now. Hallelujah, Jesus. Lord, we pray for the leadership of the country, God. We pray for governmental positions, starting with the president,
We just pray for the God in the mighty name of Jesus,
Lord. Make the right decisions, Lord God. In the name of Jesus, Lord God, I will pray for God.
Thank you, Father, that we will not let the sun set by day, neither the sun by night. In the mighty name of
Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. We're so grateful for each and every one who has joined us today. There may be somebody out there that has not received Jesus as your Savior. We invite you to do the sinner's prayer with us today, and then you will be saved. As you confess with your mouth and believe in your heart, if you repeat after me, dear Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus, I ask you to forgive me of all my sins. I confess with my mouth, I believe in my heart, that Jesus died, he was buried, and he rose again. I ask you, Father, to help me to grow in the things of God. We thank God for each and every one who did the sinner's prayer. The angels are rejoicing, and we rejoice with you. What I suggest is that you find a good Bible-teaching church to attend in your region. Find a church that will teach you about Jesus and his love, so that you will be able to grow in the knowledge of the truth. If you desire to send a donation, an offering, a love offering, anything that will support our ministry, you may send it to Prayer, Praise, and Deliverance Ministry. The address is 1698 Carroll Lay Drive. The street is spelled C-H-E-R-Y-L. Second word is L-E-I-G-H Drive. That's 1698 Carroll Lay Drive in the city of Riverdale, Georgia. Zip code 30296. If you desire to listen to a session after we're off the air, you can log in to blogtalk.com, Prayer, Praise, Deliverance. Once again, that's blogtalk.com, Prayer, Praise, Deliverance. Or you may dial the number 605-313-4929. The access code is 278-961-POUND. Select the pound sign to listen to the current session. And if you want to listen to a previous session, please call me or send me a text. My number is 904-859-1022. Once again, the number is 904-859-1022. I decree that the plowman overtakes the reaper in your life, and you live in continuous abundance. I decree that no weapon formed against you shall prosper, and the blessings of the Lord continue to overtake you as you live for Jesus Christ. Amen.